we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
Welcome everyone to Planet FM here on, hope you guys are all hearing me out there. AJ, are you hearing me at the moment, mate?
I certainly am after that lovely bugle.
We're all working. I think Anzac Day is a real significant day in New Zealand. I think we've got to remember those who fought in World War One, World War Two, those who fought on the Korean Peninsula and the fields of Vietnam to the conflicts in the Middle East, you know. I think the freedoms we have today are because of those that gave us those freedoms. So, you know, it's a significant day. There's no political agendas. It's all about... It's a day of remembrance, AJ, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think you summed it up pretty well, mate. As I said, there's sadly, mate, still there's no winners in war, and a lot of young men that should be here today. But anyway, we remember them. Pretty significant day in New Zealand's history.
It certainly is, well, and of course, I had a good weekend, AJ. I was down at Eden Rugby Club, and of course, we had a... We're going great guns. I'm going to be totally one-eyed and biased towards Eden. We had a 36-12 win over Pakuranga, and our reserves won over Pakuranga. Unfortunately, our 21s went down. We'll just give you a couple of. So it was Eden. These are some of the Auckland club rugby results. Eden 36, Pakuranga 12. Papatoa had a default win over East Tamaki, so that was a tough one. University 43, Waitemata 10. That was a bit of a surprise. College Rifles 42, Suburbs 18. Now your team, Garama Tech 92, Otahu 3.
Oh, yeah, too big. Not good club rugby to get a score like that, mate.
No, and Marist had a 42-19 win over Manukau, and on Friday, the Ponies, the guys that have all the Gallagher Shields, beat Waitakere 19. But yeah, I have to say, it was good to get out to club rugby, even though, you know, in Gribblehurst Park, there was a good crowd there, even though they had a lot of people going to 660, which I might have made. I tried to listen to it from home, but I couldn't listen to it because they put all these sound bars around Eden Park. So anyway, we might as well kick into the Super Rugby, AJ. Chiefs 26, Hurricanes 23, the smiling assassin does it again. Damien McKenzie, what were some of your thoughts on the game?
Well, as they say, he's got the Midas touch at the moment. Him and Richie Mwanga, two special players, two men who dominate. And, he's I think he's been involved in the last five wins in some fashion. So, well done to them. Probably could have gone either way in the end. But at home, good crowd. Probably had the game, let it get away from them to come back. But I thought a good team effort. It just shows you, I guess, where they are mentally. Piggy, we heard Clayton McMillan, the interim coach there. It's just about the team. It's about what they do as a culture, and I think it's paying big dividends. And as I said, they made it a bit tough for themselves, but they came away with the win to secure playing a final against the Crusaders. well done to them.
Yeah, and, you know, at the beginning of the season, and especially when they lost all those games, we all thought they were out. Really impressed with Lachlan Boshier and their front row, Aidan Ross, the hooker, I forgot what the hooker's name was, and Angus Tukiako and Angus Tarvo really, really worked over that Wellington scrum. I felt dupously Kariffi was very good for the Hurricanes, but, yeah, I just feel that... you know, they're on a bit of a roll. It's kind of like, it reminds me very much of the Crusaders in 1998 when they won that 11 in a row because, and it looked like they just had a Midas touch player in Andrew Mertens at the time. And whether we're going to see the same with the Chiefs, many would say that I'm talking a lot of rubbish. And sure, people can say that, but nothing would surprise me. Nothing would surprise me.
I think you mentioned a guy, you know, number 7 jersey, and of course with Sam Kane out, I mean, there's a spotlight that with Dalton Papali'i, and we'll speak more about that probably the next match. But this Lachlan Boshier, along with Soakulu, I thought he played very well,
very
one of his
good,
better
yeah.
games. Had a try begging, but lost that early on. Fort McKenzie probably took the wrong option, but if it came off, it would have been a blinder. But look, you summed it up. It starts with that five. They certainly had the wood on them in the scrum, early on especially. And you mentioned the front row. You never get a bad game with Arcoy. Look, he gives the odd penalty away, but look, he's just 100% of it. So, look, I think they've just got a team that is consistent in selection. I think with Anton Leonard-Brown probably playing one of his better games, starting to come into some good form there. Bryn, yes, a couple of a bit of a shaky start, but then he's rectified that and got better as the game went on. And with Brad Weber there leading the from the base of the scrum. Look, I think they're just a real good all-round team, support each other. No megastars apart probably from, you know, Damien McKenzie, really. But, boy, do they play for each other. And that resulted in them securing a win, which they, you know, could have lost. I thought Dan Coles is playing well. He brings that aggression with him. And this boy Blackwell, gee, what a great try for a tight forward. Ran about 40 metres and good support. Lovely offload from the big prop and Lomax. I mean, that's some good skills from the big fellas. But look, they never gave up the Hurricanes. I thought Prince had played well. Yes, he combined with Kariffi and Flanders. And I like this boy Love at first five. I think he's going to be something in the future. But look, when it came just to the end, they didn't quite have it. And I must say, I was pretty glad the Chiefs got there because I think they deserve it.
Absolutely. So we go to yesterday's game, the Crusaders 29, the Blues 6. Another seasons of what ifs for the Blues, AJ. I'm beginning to think that every time somebody says it's the Blues, yeah, you know that it's not going to happen for them. But really impressed with Ethan Blackadder. I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah, well, look, I'll tell you what, we always build up this north-south, red and black against the blue and white because there's so much history.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been some great matches and will continue to do so. But, look, I think the Blues have promised so much, just haven't delivered. And so I get very wary. I picked the Crusaders to win by 12. I didn't think they'd win that much. 4-0. You've got to give it to them. They thoroughly deserve their win. I thought the Blues started well, though, Peggy. I mean,
yeah.
The scrum... I mean, we can, you know, with Tui Kanaafi, Eklund and Lalala, certainly put them under pressure. I like the boy, the loose forward, the Papali'i and Gibson, and we talked about Papali'i. He's having a fine season. But I think the turning point was that try that Hoskins and Tutu didn't quite ground.
Yeah.
And that may have just changed the mentality of the game. I'm not sure. But, boy, once you let the Crusaders off the hook and... they punish you, and, you know, it started really with that lovely Jordan try. I mean, Twinkle Toes himself through the pretty brittle Blues defence and set them on their way.
Certainly did, and I have to say, when I looked at that game, I just thought, this is why the Crusaders are so good, AJ. They just... And, you know, this final, which it is, you know, I've already checked. Somebody sent me the Blues. I thought if the Blues get a bonus point next week, they may be in with a chance, but it looks unlikely at this stage. So, to me, you know, that's a deserving final. And you know, while we've got dead rubber games next week, there's still a lot of significance. I know that the Highlanders will be trying to work out their combination for Super Rugby the Super Rugby Trans-Tasman competition. So they've still, some of the teams have still got something to play for, but, you know, really, if you're a Blues fan, I really think it's just that we just miss something, whether we miss a really good first 5-8, whether we miss a good midfielder. We're just lacking something at the Blues, and it's a shame because it resonates around the rugby region. Because I had a quick look at my stats, apart from the Auckland Mitre 10 side, North Harbour didn't make a semi-finals. Counties Manukau, who are part of the area, they did not. They haven't had a good season. Northland didn't have a bad season, but you know, it's the region is, you know, I look at some of these club rugby results, AJ, and I'm really concerned about Auckland rugby at the moment. I try to have a chat to some of the big fellas from the union who are at Gribblehurst Park, but I don't know what your thoughts are.
I think we are just so desperate. I think the people in our public here for the Blues, the biggest city, biggest franchise. But it's not about numbers. It's just about what we talk about, culture. We talk about buying into it. We talk about just doing it for your teammates. I just don't see that from the Blues. I know it may sound a bit critical, but when you've lost three or four in a row, I think, you know, your supporters can be. You mentioned the Crusaders. I mean, you've got Mwanga and Drummond, and you've got Britain, you know, to come on afterwards. I mean, they're just a well-rounded team, even in the reserves. I thought, you know, Whitelock back, and it just gave that bit of solidity and that experience. And you mentioned Blackadder having a fine season, with big Callum Grace there, and maybe a bit of a slow start, but they got there in the end with that talent. And they just seem to produce it most games, and you've got to be on your best to beat the Crusaders. And their two losses, they weren't quite there, and they got tipped up. But I think they're back on the plane now. Disappointed, of course, you say the Blues. You mentioned first five. But yeah, I just don't think we've got that combination right. The powers of B will be going through the Trans-Tasman, and they'll be searching, because the season, they'll be looking at 2022. Can they get a bit of respect back? Well, you know, they've got to produce it on the field. So, yeah, I mean, this game against the Chiefs, I think, is going to be huge. Yeah. I think you're going to get a good crowd. The Chiefs have got to keep their momentum going. The Blues trying to get a bit of, respect back in their season, finish this Aotearoa competition. So they've really got a lot to play for, from my point of view, if they want, the punters to turn up the following weeks. So, yeah, just look in the mirror sort of stuff. Coaches can only do so much, but I just don't think their squad's rounded enough, and they just don't seem to produce it when they should do. And I'm talking about some senior players here. I won't mention who they are, but I just don't think they're producing the goods.
Yep, I've got a feeling who they are, but I won't mention them either. AJ, have to say, as per usual, no Zoom meetings today on the public holiday, so I was able to get here. But I have to say, it's always great having you on, and of course I look forward to next week, and then on the Saturday you'll be coming down to Gribblehurst to support your grandma against Eden in the Fred Allen Cup match.
Yeah, well, I would look forward to it. I'll be doing the match at Eden Park. I will see the big match between the Blues and the Chiefs. I tell people, get down, because it'll be a ripper. Hopefully this lovely evening. And then, of course, early, I might pop down there, Piggy. I think you owe me a couple of Shrewsbury's and see the mighty Grammar down Eden.
Okay. Hey, we've got to go, mate. We're running out of time.
It'll be a tough afternoon.
Catch you later, mate. Good on you, AJ. Okay, cheers, mate. Okay, that was AJ Wheaton. That was good. So we'll play a bit of music, and we'll just get Bluey McLennan on next. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Reviews. Having a few issues in the old studio today. I couldn't hear Bluey at one point, but fortunately I've got him back. So welcome, as we always do every Monday, former Kiwis coach, former Leeds Rhinos coach, former New Zealand Warriors coach, and all-round good bloke, Bluey McLennan. G'day, Bluey. How are you, mate?
Yeah, really good, Piggy. How you doing?
Good, man. I hope you had a great Anzac Day yesterday.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, and I loved the way Rugby League we commemorated. I thought, you know, the scenes at the Sydney Cricket Ground at the Roosters-Dragons match was, you know, really, really nice, and, you know, it pays good respect. And Melbourne, you know, the Warriors at Melbourne, you know, you see the pictures beforehand, and, you know, it was just wonderful. You know, it was really, really nice, and felt really proud to watch how, you know, everybody commemorated the Anzac spirit.
Absolutely, and we might as well kick off with the Warriors game. Storm 42, the Warriors 20. I looked at that game last night. Jerome Hughes absolutely, and Cam Munster just absolutely ripped us to shreds, but I had a bit of, but there was a bit of hope there when I watched this young fella, Reece Walsh. I felt he was excellent.
Yeah, well, you know, you always thought, you know, with the experience of Brownie and O'Sullivan, recruitment manager, and Gus Gould, you know, they're going to sign someone that hadn't played. He was always going to be pretty special. And he does. He looks very athletic. Left-footed kick, love that. Warriors really need improvements in their kicking game, and you can see that Reece Walsh will help that as well. And, you know, when Tevita Harris comes back, got another left-footed kicker. So I like what the Warriors have got. You know, Rocco Berry looks nice and athletic. He had a tough time on that left edge. You know, that's where Melbourne were attacking. But, you know, I think he looks like he's got the goods too. So there's a lot to like in the potential of the Warriors. You know, they were certainly just not up to the Melbourne Storm speed. You mentioned Jerome Hughes. He was very, very good in the first half, Piggy.
And I'll tell you something, you know, we tend to forget that this guy could be playing for the Kiwis in the Rugby League World Cup. And I'll tell you what, if I was a Kiwis coach, he's in my 17 regardless. He's in there.
Yeah, he'd be one of the first picked. You know, he's very, very good. Played in the winning grand final last year. He's going very well. It's just the Storm system, isn't it? You know, I thought when Harry Grant come on, he's going to be a good player, this one. But, you know, for the Warriors, you know, they made a lot of changes. I thought they overcomplicated it. I thought, you know, moving Nikarima over to the left side, that's just too much. I thought it struggled a bit out there. And, you know, but, you know, there's you just see things that you like. So I think there's a big difference between, you know, even the Roosters with the Dragons. There's a big difference between Penrith, the Roosters, the Storm, you know, the Rabbits. They're a step ahead, aren't they, really? So for the Warriors, they can grow their game this year. And giving Reece Walsh some experience now and hopefully next week, is a smart ploy in the long run.
And I think you're dead right there. And, of course, just looking over some of the results at the weekend, of course, the Panthers do what the Panthers do on a Thursday night. They won 24-6 over the Knights. Rabbitohs Titans, now this was a really good game. The Titans went to a big lead. David Fifita hat-trick, but Benji just turned back the clock. And 40 points to 30. I'll tell you what, I watched Benji Marshall in that game. God, he was good. Bluey.
Oh, he certainly is. And, you know, when it's all said and done for Benji, you know, he's going to be one of the named a great. You know, he's going to be named one of the greats of New Zealand Rugby League, Benji, and deservedly so. And so wonderful to see him showing his experience. And, you know, and when the team's been under the pump, Benji's delivering. And, you know, just through his smarts and his management of the game, And he did it right from the outset in his first game of the season as well when they brought him on and they're under the pump against the Storm. So wonderful to see Benji in such fine form, Piggy.
And, of course, some of the other results are the Eels were really had a big win over the Broncos at 46 points to 6. The Bulldogs, they finally won one. 80 points to 12 over the Sharks, and I have to say I was quite happy to see the old Bulldog finally get one. And, of course, bit of an upset, the Cowboys over the Raiders, 26-24.
Yeah, good games to watch those two. You know, the scenes of Bulldog hugging each other, you know, at the end of the game, and Trent Barrett, it was wonderful, wasn't it? You know,
yeah.
And, you know, thoroughly deserved. They'd worked real hard, and, you know, Todd Payton's putting a shine on the Cowboys 3 in a row, you know, against the Raiders, who have been in the top four the last 3 years. So, big improvements for the Cowboys, you know, and that's who the Warriors are going to play next. So, very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Of course, the Manly Seagulls had a big one win over the West Tigers. Tom Trbojevic just proves what a key player he is for them. But rumours already got out. Michael Maguire looks like he may be on he's on the chopping board now. They haven't announced anything yet, but the rumour is will come Tuesday. They reckon that there will be an announcement that Michael Maguire is gone.
Well, yeah, who knows? We'll you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, and, you know, you normally, especially in Australia, you know, the male's normally pretty good there. So, yeah, it seems like he has a real hard approach. You know, it's fire and brimstone, really, and it works, you know, works for a period of time. But it seems like with Madge, he's a very fine coach, knows what he's doing, but, you know, fourth year in, it gets hard. Yeah, it's a tough gig, but that's how it works.
Okay, yeah, well, that's quite interesting. It is. I've just had somebody's just forward me something about our live stream, so I'll need to have a look at. I'll have to listen to that over after I've spoken to you. But yeah, and of course the Roosters 34, Dragons 10. Sam Walker looks like a fantastic young player.
Yeah, you know, looking at Sam Walker and then Reece Walsh, you know, you see these young ones just come in and they've just got so much talent. You know, and for Walker, you know, he's got that vision and he's prepared to throw a long pass. He's to take the line on. Very exciting. I like that in Reece Walsh. He had one in the first half. You know, got called forward, but the idea was right. And just to have that ability just to play it as you see it is wonderful. So, just really awesome, Piggy, to see these young kids come into grade and not be afraid to take an opportunity when they see one.
Certainly wasn't, mate. And anyway, let's have a pick. I think you're beginning to catch up on me a bit, Bluey. In the NRL beverage betting.
Oh, it's all luck, mate. Just pure luck.
what's the game you want to pick this week?
I don't know. There's some tough ones, isn't there? You know,
yeah.
I mean, you've got the Rabbits in Canberra. Will the Raiders bounce back against the Rabbits? I mean, the Warriors Cowboys is going to be an interesting game too. You pick a game, Piggy, and I'll
let me go and have a look. Let me go and have a look right now. I might have a pick. Just bring this up right now. Here we go.
Broncos playing the Titans. Jeez, that's going to be a big game, isn't it? And the Broncos.
I'll tell you what,
Piggy,
I've got a great game for us. Panthers Sea Eagles.
Yeah, that is a good game. I'll stick with the Panthers on that one. They're at home. However, you know, I know why you picked the game because, geez, the Sea Eagles have come into some form. So, yeah, I'll go the Panthers on that one.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. And what I'll do is that I'll take Manly now that the Tom Trbojevic is back. So we'll catch up again next week, Bluey. Always great having you on, and hopefully the Warriors get another one on the board.
Yep, 100%. Thank you, Piggy.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Bluey McLennan. Now, I'm just going to, if anyone has had any problems with the live stream, please, please, please let me know on 0273384888. Send me a text if you're having some issues, because I'll need to speak to the powers that be at the station about this, because it's the second time this has happened, and I do get very, very upset about it. So we'll just, I'll just go and play a bit of music, and I'll have Brenda McNeice on next.
Working for a man who treats her like a piece of meat. I've seen my brother just looking for a hit down in the gutter, swearing to God he gotta quit. Waiting for a man who doesn't care if he dies or lives. You better watch who you're telling. Before you believe, you got to see what they're selling. Don't give up your soul to nobody else. If you wanna be free, you got to trust yourself. Hey, trust yourself. A gun in their hand. No, no, no. If you do what you're told, you better watch from the telling. Before you believe, you got to see what they're selling. Don't give up your soul to nobody else.
Welcome everyone back to the West Print Sports Review. West Print are based at 9 Pereri Street in New Lynn. Their email is westprint.co.nz, or call them tomorrow on 09827 8531. They are proud sponsors of the Sports Review. And I have online the man, the legend, and the one and only Brendan McNeice. G'day, Brendan. How are you, mate?
Oh, 100%. Love a long weekend. Love a long weekend, mate. What about yourself?
Oh, I love a long weekend too, but it was a, you know, significant day yesterday for New Zealand, so I was out, you know, I watched the planes come over. Where I live in Sandringham, so it's always a special day, Anzac Day, and, you know, at least we forget those proud soldiers that fought for New Zealand, Australia, Ireland, Great Britain, or wherever they came from in the world, they served their country.
Oh, totally agree, mate. Yeah, absolutely, and lest we forget. So, hey, I'll tell you what, lest we forget Chris Wood.
Absolutely.
Much maligned Chris Wood on this show, but hey, look.
I don't malign him, you do.
Yeah, no, not anymore. Not anymore. A superb hat-trick overnight against Wolverhampton, and like at 29, he just seems to be getting better with age. You know, I'm not saying he's like Eric Cantona, but Eric Cantona certainly got better with age. And Chris Woods, like his manager Sean Dyche, just been raving about him, about the way that he can hold up a ball, his physical presence. You know, he's deadly in the air, and and he's regularly scoring, you know, double figure goals in the Premier League. And fair play to him. And you know, I just sort of hark back to that game in the Westpac Stadium when the All Whites played Peru, and unfortunately, Chris Wood was only half fit and only got a few minutes. I'm just wondering how that tie could have changed if we had a fully fit, fully functional, you know, razor sharp Chris Wood. Like, would we have got to Russia? You know,
I think we. You know what? I reckon we. We would have pushed him close, and I tell you what, not having Chris Wood that day, and you can just see when he came on, he took a free kick, He took a free kick and he hit the post, but he caused the Colombian defence a lot of problems because he's a big lump of a guy, mate. He's
huge. The thing is, you're saying the Colombian defence, are you on what the local product of Peru and Colombia is on? It was Peru.
I'm not on that. Yeah. I'm not on the Maradona marching powder either, so don't bring that up, mate. It's a family show.
But it's a family show. Yes, talking of family, my daughter's listening in today. She just passed her driving test. And,
oh, congratulations. She can take Dad to the
bar. Lovely older McNeice. And, she haven't passed the driving test. Had a little bonus and an extra option when he needs driven to some of the local hostelries.
It's good to see that they don't forget about Dad. They'd rather at times won't do. Anyway, the English Super League. Now, before you said anything, you text me to say that we broke it. Unfortunately, your old colleague Miles Davis broke it on the other station. So we were the second ones to break the news in New Zealand.
Absolutely. Well, we certainly broke it on Sunday FM, and it was a story destined to failure. Right from the word go, yeah. Because anybody who's anybody or anybody who knows anything about football, what were they thinking?
Absolute madness. And you know something? All they've done is that come next season, when they may have fans back and the fans are quiet back, a lot of those fans won't go back because they see how they have been treated.
Yeah, here's the rub, and this is what we mentioned on your show last night, yeah. Or last week.
No, I know. Who's been on? Who's been on what? Okay, come on.
Hey, last week. There must be a tremendous disconnect between these multi-billionaire owners of these six clubs, or, you know, 12, 15 clubs, whatever you want. That they've just completely disconnected from the fan base. The working class fan base have been through a global pandemic where they're, they haven't even been able to get a pint or a haircut. And the next thing, these guys are just wanting to play European football. So they're guaranteed to qualify.
I know. And it's just, and don't even get me started on the UEFA. The extension of the Champions League, that just sounds like a lot of old rubbish. Hey, the League Cup final now.
League Cup final, and City are now winning it. I think they're making it like a birthday party. They just win it every year, you know, three times on the trot. Look, the League Cup never really got me excited. It never will get me excited. It's just another cup, and I'm just wondering why it even has a place for the Premier League teams. I think they should make it everybody except the Premier League. There's enough fixture congestion. City won it. Tottenham didn't turn up. Tottenham's got problems. They've got no manager. And they've got no ideas now at the moment either.
They certainly don't look like they've got ideas. And, of course, some of the Premier results. And, of course, my mob had a nil or draw against Leeds, who I think's had a good season. But the top four is looking pretty much assuring up that it is going to be Manchester City, Manchester United. I think Leicester might be safe if they get one more win. I think Chelsea may edge out Liverpool and West Ham.
I tend to agree with you, but just look at that United performance. It was one of the pundits on the BBC said that the most entertaining thing in the whole 90 minutes was the full-time whistle.
Yeah, well, it sounds about right. It was. Anyway,
apparently it was pure awful. It looked as if United have completely given up for the season, and they're already on halfway to Torremolinos on the 99. Pound easy jet special. It's just insane. United definitely need a striker. There's no. I've never ever at any stage been convinced by Rashford and Martial combination. I just haven't. The record just stands by that. They need to go in and spend a lot of money and get themselves a good striker. And if they ever needed a sort of a Teddy Sheringham type centre forward, who better than Chris Wood?
I tell you something. I even think the Manchester United fans wouldn't mind actually having Chris Wood, because I'm going to tell you something. He scored 10 goals this season. Now, he scored plus
at
10
Burnley.
Goals at Burnley. Yeah, at Burnley. He was out for part of the season. You know, he potentially could score up to 15 goals this season. Now, that's a good return for a team like Burnley. And he's been the top goal scorer at Burnley for the last since he's arrived.
Oh, there's no doubt that he would certainly be an asset now. Coming into 29, 30 years of age, you know, that sort of Teddy Sheringham type role. Like, doesn't get a game every week, but doesn't have to. And you know, if they go into the market and you know, and spend their $100 million on a top rate striker, you know, I would certainly think that, you know, if they could pick up Woods for, you know, 25, 30 million, it'd be a worthwhile investment for the likes of United.
Well, do you know what wouldn't surprise me? It would be the likes of Arsenal. There was talk many of the Arsenal rumour. I think in the next few weeks that may come to fruition, because I've got a feeling they're going to lose a couple of players with no Champions League and no European football, unless they win the Europa League. But, you know, he could end up at a club like Arsenal.
Well, there's no doubt that there's certainly a big future for Chris Wood, but you know, and then the good Lord Jesus Christ has shone his everlasting light upon me this morning when I got up, and I said, oh, this is just another sort of Monday, but it's not really, because St Johnstone have knocked Glasgow Rangers out of the Scottish FA Cup on penalties, and it's an absolutely fantastic, joyous morning. It doubled with the fact that the Celtic ladies also beat Rangers ladies 1-0. So there is little nuggets of joy in my life.
There certainly is. And, of course, the rumour going around about Celtic approaching the special one, and they're not talking about you, or your mate who you meet down at the pub. They're talking about the one and only Jose Mourinho.
Yeah. Well, look. He's apparently not because he's now looking around maybe at the clubs like Villarreal and Celtic and all the rest. So apparently now Gary Lineker said he's not the special one; he's the unspecial one.
Well, I tell you what, he's going to be the forgotten one, because I tell you, and he hasn't really. Well, he might have won a trophy at Manchester United, but he hasn't done anything special at Spurs. And I'll tell you something, they will regret getting rid of Pochettino.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Absolutely no doubt. But there was a great line that said that Jose Mourinho was the only manager sacked in the entire history of the European Super League.
On that note, I hope that you have a great rest of the Monday. I suppose you'll be getting on the bus down to the usual place on a public holiday Monday.
Oh yeah, well, we might break. The buses have been on strike here, but as I say, my daughter's passed her driving test, which is absolutely fantastic. So I don't rely on the old loser cruiser just to see him. So, but I might be going in to drown the old Shamrock.
Oh, good. Anyone who doesn't know what Drown the Shamrock is, you know, I think you go down to Wellington and see Mr. McNeice. Hey, I'll have a chat to you later on, because I might be heading down around Queen's birthday weekend, so I'll have a chat to you about that.
Of course, we don't celebrate the Queen's birthday weekend in this part of Wellington, but we'll take the day off anyway.
On that note, goodbye, Brendan. Have a great day. Cheers.
Don't worry.
Oh, well, he's always got to have the last say, hasn't he? Anyway, I'll just play a bit of music and I'll get the panel on next. Just got a cover, never brought on tick. Like the outside of my love, cuts, prefer to clean slate. Unless you're dealing with mates, beware. Open all out with supermarket dives, lock fourth up and parked outside. Enough aerials to pick up sky. Best to move on before Babylon then lay you flat like a futon. Whenever teachers would say, watch with your eyes. Why do you do your math? See denominations of 25. Do as my dad did, use your mental disguise. And, yo, hold up, I think it's has outside. Yo,
Universe, people. You this man?
Nah, but I've got the spray on top.
Yeah, you got it and go get your...
Okay, sweet. Mallow puffs exhale, pass your eyes like milk. Toffee pop starts the spot, harvest off another fresh crop.
As exciting as discovery of hip-hop, random stop airwaves for speaking with the cockroaches up in the ashtray, looking like an undercover D, cause I'm sweating like a piggy. Profound, seedless, ounces to the pound, dine and take away, free delivery, shop around. Defective clones detected, blocking cones, fatherless cuttings, foxtails with no homes. Scanner equipped, engaging stout down south to rock ya. Feeling ill medicine from the doctor, prescription, crystallized clusters, sticky like bubble gum. Wig a seat, vague description, unmanned poster, traffic redirection, because there's two Heine bottles in the window, not one.
Survived by the earth, denied by the norm, they think of all criminals they should be looking for. Survived by the earth, denied by the norm, they think of all criminals they should be looking for. It's the mish, y'all. It's the mish.
Hey, man, oh, man.
Oh, Joey.
Atmosphere. Any luck?
Nah, I've been out south, at least nothing.
Where's that? Should go check him out?
Yeah.
On my vehicles, on the prowl in the vicinity. Pull a quick distraction, make them think we're at the dairy. Coast clear, orders in that round the block number. They're trying to catch us out, make us fool like a lumber. Learn from our mistakes, retreat for even longer. Last time we were eager, pockets were empty on the counter. Wait for more purchase to be made for comfortability. Finally knock on wood, peephole for their stability. Door open, about a foot and a half wide. Only to be told that the tide hadn't arrived. In about an hour, was the information said. Musical houses, it's us who got the funky cruise down hard by the second time this week they've been assisted by the plainclothes sheriff.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review. Sorry about that musical choice. You know, it's not my type of music I'd listen to, but yeah, anyway. But anyway, this is the sensible part, the enduring part of the show. It is the panel, and I'd like to welcome to air the man, the legend, and the hopeless romantic, Mark Watson. How are you, Mark?
Afternoon to you. Afternoon to you, Sean.
Yes.
G'day, mate. How are you?
And we can't forget the silver tongue, silver fox, Mr. Sean Summerfield.
Hey, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Hey, gentlemen, we're just going to, before we get into the issues, Anzac Day is a real significant day in this country. It was yesterday. And I just want to just grab, just quickly, some of your thoughts on this.
Oh, look, I'll start on that. Look, I think it's just a reminder every year, isn't it, in terms of what real sacrifice is. How lucky we do have it in this country, and that particularly in the time of COVID, we can look at COVID and go, oh, look, life is tough, but certainly from 1914 to sort of, you know, 1918 and 1939 through 1945, certainly much, much tougher times for a generation then. From a sporting point of view, I think it's also just a timely reminder that, you know, as hard as they think they do it and as hard as they try and make out they do it, I think that word sacrifice is thrown around just a little bit too loosely on occasions.
Yep. What's your thought, Sean?
Oh, I know I'm with you guys completely on it. I mean, it's funny, my age, you know, I think growing up as a child in the 70s and 80s, there was almost a, I don't know if it was post-Vietnam, it was never celebrated or I felt commemorated in the way it should have been. In the last sort of 15 years, decade, it's been amazing to see these people honoured like they should have been. And we realised what New Zealand gave, because if this happened today, they'd say, why would we bother? Why are we doing this? And that these soldiers, all the nurses, all these people that went and did this, incredible. And like Mark said, sacrifice. It's that whole great comment from the guy Parks, great English cricketer. He said, what's it like facing a fast bowler? He said, that's not stressful. Stressful is having a mesh smid on your backside.
Absolutely.
And that sums it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, look, I think, too, at some point, all New Zealand athletes and sports teams need to take, or New Zealanders in general should take a pilgrimage to places like Gallipoli and, you know, take the time to understand exactly just the just how horrific war can be and just, you know, how incredibly barbaric it is. And, you know, I like it when the All Blacks, I think, years ago on that trip to Europe, you know, did go across there, and I think it gave them a much greater appreciation of sort of, yeah, sacrifices made for New Zealand, but also what the job at hand was in terms of representing your country. And I think sometimes, you know, with the commercial side of it these days, players' associations and stuff, I think it's all got a little bit too sort of complicated, and I don't think it needs to be complicated. And I think, yeah, I mean, I'd love to see, you've got to do it in a very respectful way, and it can't, but I'd like to see more sports teams spend a bit of time up there just trying to sort of get their head around, yeah, again, what the word sacrifice really does mean.
Certainly does. Well, we might as well kick it off. Myself and Mark had an interesting conversation. I want Mark to just kick it off on New Zealand playing India in the World Test Cricket Championship in Southampton in June. Now, preparation for this is two tests against England. Almost half our team are playing IPL. I know that, Mark, you've got some real strong views about this, and I want you just to express them right now. Hello? Okay, we think we've lost someone.
I'm still here, mate.
Okay, well, I'll give him a call back, so we'll just play a bit of music. Okay, Sean, we'll just go and play a bit of music, and I'll try and get Mark right back, because he said he was in some... because I think we really need to hear this, so just give us a minute.
I know, good, mate. If you want to talk about the Crusaders, I'm around to...
Yeah. No, this yeah, one's mate, a beauty. This one's a beauty. Audience. Give me a minute. Yeah, give us a minute. Okay, we'll just go back to air right now, and then Mark, we might as well continue on with the cricket conversation.
Yeah, look, I mean, I look at, you know, and this I guess probably touches a little bit on that whole thing about sacrifice and what it means to be a New Zealander, you know, and I think that Anzac Day is a good reminder. And then, you know, I look at New Zealand sport. You go through most sports, and we've always had a point of view. You know, we've had drivers win Formula One World Championships, we've had, you know, win golf majors. There's not too many sports around the world that New Zealand doesn't have a point of view in. Yet our second biggest sport, or our summer sport, cricket, you know, we've actually historically won nothing. We haven't. We've been in a couple of World Cup finals, but we've won nothing. Series in Australia in 85 and some sort of good moments. Here we have this opportunity to play in this first ever Test World Championship against India. Now, using the jute ball, we've got two tests warm up against England. And what do? We have Bolt, Salvi, and the likes of Williamson, Jamieson, all playing in this IPL, and they're allowed to play in this IPL. In fact, if they end up making semi-finals and finals, they will not be available for this first test. I find that just absolutely disgraceful, absolutely appalling. I mean, money over country, and the fact that New Zealand cricket allows this to happen is just disgraceful. Kane Williamson, in my opinion, should not be the captain of New Zealand if he is not prepared to play in that first test. We need to give ourselves the best chance of winning this. They owe it to a long-suffering New Zealand cricketing public. You would not see the likes of the Peter Snells missing key training workouts in the bid to win the Olympic Games. You know, these cricketers need to understand that world championships don't come easy. You can't just turn up. This is the might of India. And I guarantee that pitch in Southampton will end up looking like a dust bowl because the Indians will have some sort of influence. You know, if we really want to win, you've got to make sacrifice. And this is the problem with New Zealand cricket. This is the problem with a lot of our sports people is, it's the tail wagging the dog. If you don't want to play for New Zealand, don't play for New Zealand. I'd rather have people out there with less talent who are prepared, and I apologise for the terminology, who are prepared genuinely to piss blood for the country.
Sean, what was your thoughts?
Well, Mark, when you're describing that, all I was thinking of was 1985 and the Cavaliers. And, you know, put the political stuff aside, but for a lot of these players, it was the attraction of money. And back then, there was bugger all money. It was an amateur game. And those rugby players that did sacrifice a lot of time and stuff in their careers, not sacrificed in terms of what we've been talking about earlier. And, you know, I remember Bernie Fraser and Stu Wilson wrote their book, and all hell broke loose because they were going to make money from writing a book. And come to the cricketers, they're pretty damn well paid to play for New Zealand. It's not like they need to go to the IPL so they can pay their mortgage. This is to buy their third or fourth home. And good on them, well done, they're great at cricket, and that's all good. But I'm with you completely. If you want to go and do that, be mercenary about it, fine. You've got to take the consequences, and you shouldn't be playing for New Zealand.
Yeah, look, but it's no different with these All Black players that sort of try and hold a gun to New Zealand rugby's head. Pay me $1 million a year or I'll go and play in a club in the Northern Hemisphere. I'm like, you know what? I'll give you $500,000 a year and the All Black jersey. If that's not enough, go. I mean, the All Black jersey in itself should be enough. You know, there are some intangibles that go with it. And everybody's stupid enough to buy into almost the bribery or this fear that we're going to somehow lose them. I mean, I look at Kieran Reid. Was Kieran Reid really worth $1 million a year? He wasn't exactly Zinzan Brook, you know. But we seem to get suckered into it. You know, the players have too much power. But New Zealand cricket is just one sport. It is time to deliver. And I've always said, you know, I used to get on radio and talk about the drinking and the smoking culture, and no wonder we'd never won anything. Everyone used to say, oh, you don't get it, Watto. You know, it's because we don't have as much money here as the Indians and we don't have a big enough population. I'm like, well, no. You see the antics of these guys out after a one-day game, and you come from the sporting background I come from, you will understand why we're not winning. And it's the same thing. How much do you want it? What are you prepared to do? And look at a guy like Scotty McLaughlin. This is a guy who's given up a very lucrative opportunity with the supercars in Australia. He is the man. But for him, it's actually about legacy. It's actually about that next challenge. Say, I'm going to go off to IndyCar. I'm going to finish 11th. I'm going to finish, what was it last week, 14th, you know, probably by his own high standards. You know, some people might sort of look at him and don't you feel a little bit embarrassed? But he understands the sacrifice he has to make. He understands what it's all about. That they're the people I want paying for my country.
You did on. And, you know, the whole thing is that it's not like they're playing for New Zealand for free. And that's the bit I don't get. And surely there's a contract. And if they've got contracts that are that weak that New Zealand doesn't come first, then we've got a real problem because we've got the same club versus country issue that you see happening in some of the British sports and, in rugby in Britain. But, you know, FIFA, no one tells them what to do. Well, it almost did recently. The country comes first.
But look, even just the whole preparation thing, I go back to Sean when we played in Australia, 2 years ago, I think, for that Boxing Day test, or was it, 2019, 2020, and, you know, here we are getting Australia opportunity to play in Australia, play the Boxing Day test, first one since 86, 87. You know, the pinnacle, I would have thought, in test cricket is beating Australia and Australia, maybe England and England, India and India, but we'll say Australia and Australia. And what do? We play some tests at home, and then we go over there with about a week's preparation and wonder why we get the absolute crap kicked out of us. And it's a game because we don't give ourselves the right preparation. We don't take it seriously enough. We should be taking those opportunities like the Olympics that come around once every 4 years. Every single resource is put into it. You do not leave a stone unturned, because if we can win and if we can beat these guys on home soil, not only great for the players, but not only great for the game, but great for the public. And I'll say this, I'm sure Kane Williams is a nice guy, one of the best batsmen in the world, but in my opinion, clearly, this IPL takes priority over that test. He shouldn't be captain.
No.
You know, and if he needs a reminder, without being stupid, you know, go jump on a plane while you're there and go to Gallipoli. Go and have a look what it means to be a New Zealander, in all seriousness.
I'm going to say something here, guys, and I'm both, you know what, I agree on what you're saying there, Mark. They've got to take, you know, this is a once in a lifetime. I tell you what, if we had talkback radio, I've just got all the lights. If we had a talkback, I can tell you something right now, Mark. Airlines would be flashing like anything. Hey, just quickly, guys.
Is that because the girls will be ringing up Sean saying if he's single and available?
No. They want to know. They want to know about the man, the legend, the hopeless romantic. God, he comes up. Geez, Watto. I don't know. Hey, guys, I'm going to say this right now, and we've got 5 minutes on this, and we're quickly on this. The Blues are a failing franchise. I think I've had enough. I'm sick of hearing the rubbish. It's our year. It's our year. I have to say, mate, it's another dismal season for Blues supporters.
You go, Sean.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm a Cantab, so, you know. Look, the thing is, again, that the Blues didn't actually play horribly badly yesterday. The game could have gone another way with this 2-2 try. We were just a bit short. And, again, it wasn't horrific. And we're so good. And this is, I'm happy to be wrong here. We're so good at saying your team lost rather than they were beaten. The Blues were beaten yesterday.
Yep.
And I think this competition, good or bad, it's been pretty damn close. You know, and I don't think they're horrific. I do think they, if they had a Mwanga at first five, that would change the shape of everything. I don't get where Clark's gone. I watch every time saying, please, I want to see, even yesterday, I wanted to see him do some magic, but it seems like he's either been shut down or left out, or is it the Samson factor because he's cut his hair? I don't know. But, yeah, Eamon, compared to other seasons, I don't think it's as horrible as we make out. There's a lot of players who have had big raps that aren't still don't deliver.
Certainly. Mark, you'll have an opinion on this.
Oh, look, yeah, I mean, I thought Caleb Clark yesterday really disappointing, and I think it was brought up by Justin Marshall in the commentary, just not busy enough. You know, he needs to get himself more involved in that game. But, I also think with our front row forwards, you know, we seem to focus so much on scrummaging that it's almost like our front row forwards have forgotten the art and the ability of actually running with the ball these days and being mobile. You know, gone are the days of the Steve McDowells, but it's just decision-making within the Blues. But I still just cannot understand, sir, why a player like a Kirawani is playing at centre. A Rico Iwani, I mean, he's a winger. Play him on the damn wing, man. You know, then worry about midfield and putting the right players in there. And, there's just, I don't know, it's just hard to put your finger on what is just missing with Blues rugby. But is it a cultural thing? Is it talent identification? Is it the problem with secondary school competition and the fact that schoolboy rugby is the stepping stone to higher honours, and therefore it generally tends to be the big guys that ultimately end up getting through? But something does need to change. I've said it on the show previous weeks. I think when you look at player depth in New Zealand rugby at the moment, because you need a strong Auckland. You do need a strong Auckland. Yeah. It's such a big part of the population, and if the Blues are weak, well, it's not a good thing for the rest of New Zealand rugby.
Hey, the other thing, though, too, just thought about then, the player you mentioned before, you know, and this sums it up too, Kieran Reid. He grew up as a Blue. Right. Wow, Blues, what was his county? So almost a chief, you know what I mean? The players are bred quite well in Auckland, but they move away. The Crusaders know how to shop.
Yep.
Yeah, well, Brent Hall is another one, went through St. Peter's College. Jack Goodyear went through Manor, but from Northland originally.
Do they not want them? No,
because in Auckland, the smart parents will say, if you want to make it, don't go through this system, go through the Canterbury system. And I know a young guy at the moment who played New Zealand schools, and if it hadn't been for COVID, would have played under 20s, and he's gone to Canterbury as well, and born and bred at Sacred Heart College.
And that's the way it runs, you know, at the moment, the identification system. But another thing too, guys, and I'll be straight to the point, there are players out there, but because they weren't a star at schoolboy rugby and they're coming through the club level, they're not recognised, and this is a real issue.
Not recognised, they quit.
Other thing too, you see the size of both of the Crusaders wingers, they're not big guys compared to their counterparts in a lot of other teams.
That is play a smarter game. Anyway,
we've solved the world's issues, haven't we?
I just
want to say well done to Scotty McLaughlin again on making progress this morning.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah,
he's class. You wait. He's class.
Oh, I know. I'm waiting. Yeah, absolutely. I've got no doubt about it.
And I'm going to say classy. I have to say to the two most handsome middle-aged broadcasters that I know of, who are both a class act, thank you so much for your contribution. Sorry about all the technical issues.
Yeah, that's middle-aged, mate.
Yeah, well, you know, we're all getting there, mate. We're middle-aged.
You forgot to put the word neglected in there for me.
Okay, neglected in the case of Mark Watson. You got